Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Legendarium Green Team. I'm Chesky Kuja, and today I've got Arathandus.
Good evening.
I've got The Solution.
Hey, everybody.
And today we're going to be talking about the first book in the Cradle series by Will White, Unsold. Just to kind of let everybody know, what were you guys' just spoiler-free thoughts about this book? Did you enjoy it? Did you not enjoy it? Solution, do you want to start us off?
Sure. I've read this book many times. It's one of the series I very much enjoy. The first book is not what I would consider the best in the series, but it's a good book in my opinion.
Great. Sounds good. Arathandus?
Yeah, so this is the first, I guess, book I was told that was a lit RPG book. So I kind of read it cold the first time, and I did not like it at all. I was confused, lost. I didn't know what was going on. Didn't much care for it. But then I had a talk with both of you guys online, and then I actually spoke to my son, kind of like, you know, about what he likes about video games and what he likes about, like, watching people play video games. And I went in and I read the book kind of with that thought in mind, with that mentality in mind. And when I read the book as if I was reading somebody playing a video game, I enjoyed it. It was fun, kind of like from that perspective, because then you could almost see the gears kind of behind the story and kind of, oh, this is meant to be like newbie land and different things like that. So anyway, so I enjoyed
it. Good. Yeah, that's great. I also enjoyed this book series a lot. I've read it once or twice. It's always just a fun, light read. And I enjoy seeing all the protagonists and everything that kind of goes around with it. So let's just talk about, you know, what exactly happens in this book. To start us off, we start with a young man named Weishi Linden, and he is among his people one of the only one who can't use magic. You guys say anything more about that, or is that good?
Pretty accurate. Yeah, that's about how it starts. Yeah,
very accurate. So, as Arathandus said, this is a lit RPG / progression fantasy. I think it falls a little bit more on the progression fantasy, but that's fine. And so part of that is that there are certain, you could call them, levels to the world. Now, most people, when they are children, they advance to what is called the copper stage. And then after work and diligence, can move to the iron, and then to the jade, and then supposedly to gold. What do you guys think about how that was laid out, how that was introduced in the book? Did you enjoy part of that? Did it feel too complicated for you? Arathandus?
I'll start. So I'll say this. The first time I read it again, it wasn't that I was confused or lost. I was just like, what are they talking about? Like, there was assumptions that were being made that I just had no idea. But again, when I went into it, looking at it like a video game, you know, like how in video games you have like class N, class, you know, C, B, A, S, L, whatever, you know, equipment. And I'm like, oh, this is what they're talking about. Then it kind of all slotted into place and it made a lot of sense. And then it kind of made sense about how in the book, how the progression actually looked. It wasn't like a smooth, seamless transition. It was you could see the person change. So again, kind of like once you had that thought in mind, I thought it was pretty clear, but you kind of have to have the right mindset, I guess, going in.
Yeah. Perfect. Solution, what were your thoughts as you were reading this book this time about those levels?
Well, it's definitely like Arathandus said, it's very interesting as far as the classification of how they advance. It's a stage of advancement. I believe the term is wuxia, is a Chinese. It's called a cultivation is what this series is based off of. So that's what they do in a lot of those series. They have like iron, copper, and they don't go by metals as classifications all the time. They do sometimes colors or some numerical value or some other stage that the author wants to give them as far as advancement. So this was my first experience with that. I thought it was interesting. It's a way to define risk and endangerment, because you have a man, boy, I think he's 16 at this time, who's lowest of the low. It's a caste system, really. And makes you fear for him and his safety compared to even little children that are stronger than him.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point I think you brought up, that their strength system or this level scaling is very similar or indicative of a caste system, where the weaker you are, the lower you are on this caste system. And when you break those levels, you can move up in the caste system. So it's got a little bit more mobility than a more rigid caste system by birth, let's say. But I mean, that's a good point. I really like that thought.
And I guess let me follow up on that with the whole caste system. It doesn't take into account your intelligence or skills in other areas. And I think that's demonstrated quite well in the book with this character's, you know, mindset and the way he's willing to kind of act throughout the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as one of the lowest of the low, he is, you know, shunned. He's not included in anything. You know, he has no friends, no standing before anyone because he can't achieve these levels. So that was, I felt, you know, just reading that this last time when I reread it, I really could sympathize with Yoichi. Not that I've been like ridiculously ostracized my entire life, but I just felt like the way it was written, it was just so poignant and so real to me, at least. Like, you know, you could feel that hope every time he went to the testing, right? I mean, you could just feel it coming out of him that he wanted it. And then he was denied it. And that part really spoke to me. So did you guys enjoy that? Did you feel the same way a little bit or no, or not really?
This is Eridandis. It's a good point. I guess what I got out of it was his, I'm going to call it his determination. That's kind of like what I really got out of it. Like, you know, the character is written definitely as a, you knock me down 10 times, I only get up 11, you know, and he's very innovative. And there's like, it's just a never say die attitude about him. So, but that's a very good point, but I guess I got something a little bit different out of it.
That's everybody gets something different. Sol, did you get anything?
Yeah, very similar. You know, I was never bullied as much as, you know, someone who's in the lowest of the low of a caste system. But, you know, I think that's something that most people would resonate with, is that there's times when you are bullied and things are just, you know, unfair against you. It's the world. Things are not fair. And that's just the world we're in.
Great. Great. This is another thought I just had about this, and I have it in our sheet. But the use of honor in this world sometimes seems a little bit skewed, where, because our main character, Boishi, is so weak, it would be a shame if anybody were to actually, you know, attack and kill him because he did something wrong. But at the same time, if somebody did choose to kill him, many people remark that his family would have to just apologize because, you know, he's so weak. What are you guys' thoughts on the opposites there? You know, oh, too weak to be killed, but if he does get killed, then it's his own fault, and, you know, we have to apologize for it. Eridanis, you want to start us off?
Oh, well, that gets to kind of like one of my issues with the book, which is the general morality in the book. Because what you're talking about there is, so they have a system set up where you talked about where honor is kind of skewed in one direction. And also throughout the book, there's a consistent theme of might makes right, that, you know, you do what you have to do to achieve your next progression, your next level, next thing, you go on and on and on. And the main character is very focused on that, and he will do pretty much anything to get to that next level. And while it's fun, kind of like as a video game character, to kind of have that, like, it kind of left something to be desired regarding like the core of this world or of this character, of like, you know, like what's their core moral tenet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have thoughts, but unfortunately my thoughts about this part, at least in your moral part, are going to have to wait till a little bit into our spoiler section. But I think that later books definitely do a little bit better job of showing, you know, what actions he is willing to take and not take. What about you, Solution? Did you have any thought about the honor or the morality that you wanted to bring up right now?
I'm very much in your camp with as far as the spoilers, not just in the first book, but also in the rest of the series. It definitely, there are improvements, is all I'll say as far as that. As non-spoilers, the clan itself and its honor system is different than outside of Sacred Valley, if you know, that's very general terms. They, like, for example, you know, they cheat. If he gets away with it, then it's still honorable because it's honorable to win. It's a very weird system that Lyndon grows up in that's hard to see somewhere else in the world. So I think it was definitely weird the first time I read it as well.
Yeah. And it's definitely different than how we as a modern society try to value other individuals and how we value accomplishments. It's different. It's a different time period. It's obviously in a fantasy world where they just haven't gotten that far, I guess, yet. But was there anything? Let's see. What else did you guys want to talk about? Solutions? Did you have anything you wanted to bring up?
No, not really. I figured I'd answer questions. Spoilers.
Aridan, is nothing for you as well, then?
I mean, no. But yeah.
Okay, that's fine. I don't have much left to say. I've done a lot of asking questions, but I liked it. I sometimes wish it was a little longer, but that's about all I can say non-spoilery. So I guess this will be the time, if you're listening, to pause it and go read the book, or if you don't care, continue listening while we spoil away at what's going to happen in this book.
And I'll add this for right before we get into spoilers. This is a great novel to start off with if you're YA or you're a new reader or you're trying to get somebody into reading. I think this is a good first book to really get somebody into it. That I would say.
Yeah, would you say that it could it can entice non-readers who people who might not normally want to read, but they might like it more than a regular book?
I would say yes, specifically for people who are more into interactive stuff, whether it's YouTube or video games or things like that. I think the book is written with that kind of mindset in mind. And at least from, again, like, to go back to what I originally said, once I was in that mindset, like, I was able to actually understand and read the book a lot better. And I think people who are already in that mindset would enjoy reading it.
Great. Great. All right. Now into our spoiler section. I think, Aridanis, would you like to tackle the morality first? Ask us the questions about morality that you might have had specifically, or?
Lyndon pretty much does. I mean, like, so his clan, to Solution's point, like, anything goes, and as long as you win, it's fine. And Lyndon ends up, he does kill one person, and there's about a paragraph of remorse, and then it's like, shrug your shoulders and move on, and do what you can to get more power, more power, more power. And I never saw a core of, this is a decent human being. And I'm not speaking specifically to the protagonist, to anybody. I mean, it's all, how do we progress? How do we progress? How do we progress? And to the extent that there's any morality, it's in the middle of the book of, well, do you want to save your world or do you not want to save your world? Well, I mean, it doesn't matter whether you're a good guy or a bad guy, you kind of want to save your world. So I just did not get a good impression regarding anybody's moral compass in the book.
Yeah. Solution, did you want to go first or would you like me to?
You can go first. That's fine.
Okay. As far as morality, there is that strong, you know, impression of might makes right. I think, to Lyndon's credit, the reason I kind of feel like he is a little bit more moral is because he's grown up in this this might makes right society, and he's been the weak the whole time. He has a much different perspective than most people on things. And in this book, he does kill somebody. You're right. And it is only about a paragraph or so of remorse. But I think in the scope of the book, if he'd have devoted any more time to that, it would have felt oddly skewed that way. It is a short book, and there's not a lot of time given to any one thing. I think at least putting in there that he did it, and I think in that, if I remember correctly, that it was his last choice. He really didn't want to kill anybody. You know, if he could get in and get out, then he would have without killing anybody. But I think it was a little bit of a forced situation, but I think you really just look at his intentions. You know, he's always wanted to be strong, but he never really had the motivation to go out and leave Sacred Valley and try to improve himself more than just what the clans people would let him. You know, now he's actively taking it, like you said, because he saw that vision. But his goal is, you know, save Sacred Valley. Even these people that have abused me and mistreated me my whole life, you know, not just, oh, take my family and get out, but, you know, I want to protect everybody. That's my thoughts. So Lucian, what about you?
No, I definitely agree. Lyndon thinks this is his home. It is his home. He doesn't know any better. This is, even though it's the weird honor system that he's been raised in, I know he cares about his family. The fact that it still surprises me that he cares about the clan. He still even cares about the clan because he wants to win in the tournament. Not just his family, but for his clan. He wants to save them from the vision of something coming to Sacred Valley.
Well, we're in the spoiler section, so you go ahead and spoil that all you want.
Yeah, yeah. I don't remember if they coined the term there, so I don't want to. I'll be safe there. But yeah, he goes to leave the valley. And I know the author, Will White, has even said in his blog quite a few times that he really tries to keep it as short as possible, trim any of the fat. And I do think you're right, Eridanus. The first book especially is less morality as far as character development and seeing read a human decency, I guess. There is more in the later books, a lot more. He's gotten a lot of fan feedback as far as doing more in his later books. They've had more developments in that area. And I think the first one or two, he was really just trying to keep it as short as possible and all action and fast-paced.
I get it, but I mean, it felt very video gamey, right? Where it's just like, you know, you could say the character's name is Lyndon or insert character name, right? So that's a look, that's when I'm talking about the lack of morality, that's partly what I'm getting at, is that like the character kind of goes through. I mean, look, I felt like, you know, maybe this gets into something that we're going to talk about later, but I felt like the specific area he was in, the Secret Valley, this is newbie land. Like, this is where you start your video game adventure, and this is your tutorial. This is how you go through all this stuff. That's how it felt like to me. So in a video game, this is where you have the least amount of agency in it at all. And that's how it felt a little bit like to me with Lyndon, is that he was given one choice, which is basically like, you want to die an old man? And when you die, like your Sacred Valley is going to perish with it. Or do you want to do something? Do you want to go be a hero? Which is, again, very, very video gamey, but that's where kind of like to articulate a little bit better where I had that hollow moral core, and maybe it improves in later books, but that's kind of how I felt in the first one.
I can definitely see your point about you saying that Sacred Valley feels like the tutorial, where we're introduced to everything, we're learning everything, kind of along with Wei Shi Lyndon, and then, you know, we're moving out, and now he can finally start making his own decisions, whether to go left or right, and now he's out. I will say that in the future books, specifically book 7 or 6, near the end of where he's at right now, at least, we do learn a little bit more about Sacred Valley that will confuse you more and enlighten you more at the same time. I guess I see you laughing, Solution. You know what I'm saying? It both confuses and enlightens at the same time. And so it'll be good when we get there, and you'll see, and hopefully that will improve your feelings about this first book. Maybe not. I think, like you were saying, and like Solution was saying, that the later books really allow you more into the agency and the minds of the characters and that character progression versus the world building and action of the very first book. One thing I wanted to say was, how did you guys feel, or especially you, Aaron, this is your first time, with the Abaddon sequences kind of thrown in there? So the Abaddon would have been with Suriel, the time cop, as I will call her for this episode.
I love that description, time cop. That's actually, I've been struggling the whole time. Like, what is she, an angel? Time cop is perfect.
I think she's technically more of a time doctor, but we'll go with time cop for this one.
I like that. So, like any good video game, you need to have some big bad that's way over your relative power when you start the series. So Abaddon was the necessary big bad, even though, if I'm going to still use the video game analogy, I would assume that Abaddon's relative power compared to what Lyndon can eventually get to, Lyndon's going to look back and say, why was I scared of Abaddon in the first place? You know, because that's kind of how it works in video games, right? So that's kind of my impression. But look, I thought it was a good way to demonstrate the relative progression and the relative powers from where Lyndon is compared to where his family is, compared to where his clan is, compared to where Abaddon then is.
Yeah, Solution.
Yeah, I totally see what you mean. Mostly, it's a lot of similarities to anime and shonen anime at that, where I think they start out where there's not too much character development. They get into that later. They really want to do the action. And then, yeah, it's just, I don't want to spoil anything, so I'm trying to monitor my thoughts. But yeah, there are moments where, you know, you get to look back at previous progression and see the progress that's been made and judge the characters by that.
Yeah. I liked, you know, the first time I read it, and on this first reread, this time when I was rereading it, sometimes I got a little thrown off by the story that's happening in those Abaddon sections before where we're separated completely from Lyndon. I like the hint of that story going on at the same time. It kind of gives me a dual focus to all these books. Like, well, how is what, you know, Lyndon's doing potentially going to affect what could happen in this world or in this section, and vice versa? And then I also really liked the reports that we're given sometimes. I thought that was a really fun and interesting way to get parts of the story that are necessary or beneficial to the reader, but not absolutely critical. You can see things without having to have them be in Wei Shi Linden's first person perspective or near that, right? You can see it kind of from a removed angle. You can see things that wouldn't necessarily be brought up in the story because it's somebody's past, and they're not going to just reach out to you and tell you, oh, well, this is my past and this is what happened, and now you know my future and now I'm going to attack you, you know, but you can get that from it. Do you guys like it that as well or no? Or
to me, this is what I thought was the lit RPG part of the story, right? That you had like the all-seeing eye kind of above storyline, which I thought that was a clever-ish way to kind of like, you know, bring it out. I mean, and you see how it was like done to, like, you know, obviously like an author that's higher up the food chain, but Brandon Sanderson, this is pretty much what he's doing with the Stormlight Archive and the Cosmere. I mean, sincerely, he has different worlds with different power levels, and he's has all these shards and all these different things, and not saying it's the same book, but it's the same kind of concept where you have different worlds and different lots of power levels and guys making reports to each other. Anyway, so
It's a concept that should be familiar to anybody who's a fantasy reader.
Yeah, I agree. Solution, did you enjoy those at all, kind of like me, or no, or yes?
Yeah, what? Yeah, definitely. And I agree with him that it's... Yeah, pretty much I agree with him as well. Yeah. Not much to say elsewise.
That's fine, that's fine. That's, you know, if we're all in agreement, then, you know, it must be good for us at least, right? So, was
I
there
think anything... it's an interesting interlude structure. Like, because you do get interludes in a lot of other books, but this is a good way to keep it really short, because he does want to keep things short, and this still provided that third person, like, out of character perspective to certain events or objects that he wants to talk about.
All right. I think we are getting close to wrapping this up, but was there anything else that you guys really enjoyed or didn't enjoy in the book that you'd like to talk about? You know, all spoilers, fair game, be warned. Was there anything like that that you liked or wanted to talk about at all?
Well, it's this isn't normally my kind of book. I guess I like the heavier books. Right now I'm looking at a Canonical for Leibowitz on my desk, which is a much heavier book, but I guess it's something we talked about with lit RPG books in general. Like, for the hour or two I sat there reading it, it was good escapist fun, right? And sometimes it's just good to just open up a book and just enjoy the roller coaster, right? So that's what I would say about this book.
I hard agree on that with you as well. That they're great, they're small, contained, you know, an hour or two or three, and you're just having a blast while you read it. Solution, any thoughts or anything else you wanted to say?
Yeah, it's a popcorn fantasy is a recent coin term, but it's what it is. I don't read it for incredible emotional scenes that make me cry or something like that. No, I read this because it's fun. And I do want to say, though, a little off topic, but the covers are terrible. I really enjoy the series, but I hate the covers. So I just wanted to get that out there.
That's
fine. I agree with the solution, but I need to go back and look at the covers. I didn't pay attention.
What is it about the covers? We've got a few minutes. What is it about the covers that just drive you crazy?
Mostly just they're bland. I do understand, like, because he actually has some very kick-ass covers. I apologize. For his other series, there's quite a few of his other ones. Of Kings and Killers was really nice. I want to say that's his last two books of his other series, one of his other series. He's got good books with good covers. And then my favorite series of his, just, I just don't like the covers. They're very bland. He's trying to stick to the symbolized theme for each book, which I understand.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't mind them too much, I guess. I don't really look at the covers. I'm usually in the book, on an ebook, so yeah. I don't see it rarely, if ever. But it's going to wrap it up. But before we go, I'd like to pose a question to Eridandis and then to us. What we expect and what we hope to see in future books. So, Eridandis, why don't you tell us what you want to see and what you hope to see?
Well, so... We've gotten a description of the relative power levels. I think that these are just the first, like, you know, when you play video games, you get like a tier with a set of power levels in one tier, and then you go up another tier, then you have another set of levels you have to go up. That's kind of like what I foresee, like, as the series progresses, is that as Linden masters one tier, he's going to move up to another tier and become ever, ever more powerful. I'm not expecting a ton of emotional depth in the book, but I would like to see at least some character development for Linden. I think that would be nice. And I would like to see the development of a sustained antagonist for Linden, as opposed to, like, you know, the antagonist for the book. I'd like to have more of an overarching kind of like baddie that maybe will be revealed through the course of several books that he can kind of be measured against.
Great. Solution, why don't you go?
All right. I've actually read as far up into the series. I believe Chesky has as well. So as far as what I would want to see, I'm not going to talk about what I want to see from book, I believe, 8, where we already finished. So I'm not going to talk about books 9 and on that I'm looking forward to. Just from 1 to 7, I remember when I read this, I really wanted to see, like you said, more advancement. There is more, you know, like I want to know if there's more tiers of advancement, like you said, different stages, because you're left with gold is a myth and finding out that gold is not a myth. And there's stuff beyond gold that is like these angel time cops that are out there. And what are they? We don't know. That all comes in the later books. And I thought that was pretty interesting. And you do get more character development, and I'm excited for even more of that.
I gotta say, I'm not gonna forget the time cop thing. That's gonna stick in my mind now forever. As I read these books from now on, that's all I'm gonna be able to see. So,
well, I really should have started with Time Doctor because she is like a doctor. But either way, it's Time Doctor, Time Cop, it's out there. Now we're stuck with it. So, you know, things I think that we could expect from the next book is a little more action, of course, obviously. I think looking forward, we would hope to see more character development. I think that this first book is really kind of a foundational piece that he's trying to build a world and just, like you said, like a newbie territorial village where he can set it all up and then he can push him out and go from there. So I'm excited to see that. I love the details, you know, and the plans, like what is required to move from copper to iron? What's required more than just time and cultivation to go from iron to jade? That's fine. I will just repeat what I said. I said, I like the detail. I like learning the individual requirements from, you know, copper to iron, iron to jade, jade to potentially gold, and what could happen beyond that. I think this book really lays that foundation, and that the rest of them, as long as you go in with the right attitude, you're going to have a great time. They're all fun. They're all engaging, at least to me. And that's all I have to say looking forward, I guess.
If Chesky, to your point, one of the things, again, once I was in the video game mode, that I really noticed that I was like, oh, that actually makes sense, is how I need to have X number of potions and a lotus flower and, like, you know, whatever the 4 or 5 items are on top of all the additional, like, experience you had to before you're allowed to advance. And kind of like once I had that mindset, and I'm like, oh, that actually makes sense. But anyways, just to kind of support your point.
Yeah. No, that's, thank you. Yeah, I like that stuff. Yeah, especially in these books, it makes a little bit more sense. But I think that's going to cover everything for us today. Very spoiler light start to a book, but it's a great one to read. I think all three of us would recommend it. Yep, okay, I'm getting nods. Yeah.
Definitely recommend it. I didn't know if Aridandus did or not, but he enjoyed it a lot more the second time.
YA recommendation.
YA and up recommendation. You heard it from Aridandus. At the bare minimum, you got to be YA to read this. That's what he's saying. At the bare maximum, I think that depends on the age of your mind. And if you have a mind that's like me, or you're a child, and then this book is for you. So,
if you're a child at heart, there you go.
That's it. If you're a child at heart, then you can learn to enjoy this book just like Aridandus. So, thanks for joining me, you guys. This was a lot of fun talking about this. I look forward to reading the next book, which is called Soulsmith, with you guys and talking about that sometime. It's going to be great. I'd like to thank Horizon Brave for, you know, starting this podcast off with us and pushing us to do it. If you guys want to join the conversation, we're always available on the Legendarium's Reddit and or Discord. Follow us, listen, have a good time. Right?
Enjoy. Bye.
See you guys.
Thanks. See you guys.
Bye.